Hi everyone, welcome to the Highbury Hangout podcast. In today's episode, we'll be talking all about our 2-1 victory over Man City. In the starting lineup, we of course had Sabrina D'Angelo getting her first back-to-back WSL starting goal. We obviously saw her in a stunning performance against Spurs. We had, and while to the relief of many, Katie McCabe was able to play despite the fact that in the midweek game against Bayern Munich, she was of course taken off mid-game and later seen on crutches and a boot. However, unfortunately, it seems Kim Little's injury from the Bayern Munich game is a bit longer than we anticipate. We haven't had a huge amount of detail on the situation, but it does seem like she's going to be out for a fair few games. Due to the loss of Kim Little, we obviously then see Leah Williamson taking the armband and also moving up into the midfield position. So things got off to a fairly nervy start when City went up 1-0 in just 5 minutes with a goal from Bunny Shaw. It's actually her 15th WSL goal of the season. In fact, most of the first half was quite nervy. We looked leggy and lethargic, clearly showing some tiredness from our big match in the midweek against Bayern Munich. But after a while and quite a lot of discussions from Jonas on the sideline, we did seem to have our press show a bit more promise. In fact, a slide tackle from Leah Williamson saw the ball get to Blackstenius, who found Caitlin Ford. Unfortunately, on this occasion, Ellie Roebuck was able to recover the ball quite simply, but it did start to show kind of our efforts slightly paying off, but by no means did we look dominant. This definitely carried on, but both teams had chances and both showed threat, and in fact I think most would say that it was Man City showing the truest threat. To make matters worse, we were dealt a blow in the 35th minute when Caitlin Ford, who has been in some incredible form as of late, came off with an injury, forcing Idavelle into a very early change. On came Laura Wien-Reuter, and Katie McCabe as a result had to move into the right wing position. Sabrina D'Angelo then made a series of saves and truly kept Arsenal in the game. We made it to half time, and in the second half we came out with a lot more energy. There was a lot more promise from Arsenal. The breakthrough finally came at the hour mark, brought on by some really good play by Noel Maritz down the wing. The ball fell to Blackstenius in the box, and in the scramble, Frieda Marnham was able to just tap one in. Momentum was then really in our favour, and the goal definitely livened up the Arsenal side, especially Frieda herself. It was then Katie McCabe who really shut down the game with an absolute screamer. The ball was played short from a corner, and then McCabe banged it into the net from a pretty fair distance as well. The visitors looked a lot less threatening from then onwards, although the 6 minutes of extra time definitely took its toll, but we moved into a five at the back scenario, which definitely helped secure us the result in the end. We originally moved into second in the league, but obviously Chelsea beat Villa and that now leaves us third. However, us and Chelsea both have a game in hand over Manchester United, who remain in the top spot, and Manchester City, who are now in fourth. So overall, as you can imagine, we're going into the international break with a really strong position in the league. For me, this game actually really shows the importance of Jonas Eidevall as a tactician. I've spoken about it before, I think this is really where he excels as a manager. But you could tell that in the first half, things clearly weren't quite going to plan, and I think City's Hasegawa played a huge role in that, really narrowing down options and controlling most of the game. And I think this is when we definitely saw the classic Arsenal keeper goes down to be assessed for an injury, and then the players have a quick sideline chat with Jonas. What really made me chuckle actually was that, I don't know if you could see it on the TV screen, but from where I was stood, it looks basically that like Manuel Isinsberg, who was obviously being rested for this game, kind of gave a hand signal of sorts to Sabrina D'Angelo, and it wasn't long after that that Sabs needed treatment, so that was brilliant. But from this team talk, what we then saw was that Pullova pushed higher onto the right, allowing Mornum to focus on Hasegawa, as I just said, and this made things a lot easier, really helped Arsenal get in the game. This was then a little bit short-lived when changes had to be made because of Caitlin Ford's injury, but you could see already things were starting to develop. Also, Leah Williamson's first of many slide tackles in the game really helped Arsenal. I think it brought a more of a physical edge that we needed. We needed to be a bit more combative to kind of deal with City. They came in well rested and with a lot of confidence. They've obviously been in a great run of form. But I think it's really great when we see this very controlled aggression from Leah. She's very, very good at that. One of the other things that we saw Jonas Edvald change was similar to what happened in our February meeting with City. He moved us into a back five in the latter stages of the game. So obviously Jem Beattie came in as a third centre-back really, which really helped match, if not outmatch, Bunny Shaw's physicality and also the height of a lot of the crosses that were coming into the box. And this completely shut down their ability to score a goal essentially. This was then obviously doubled almost because Rafa moved as well and then silenced Chloe Kelly, but also specifically Hayley Raso, who is very, very quick. And I think Rafa was a great match out for her. We also really saw an interesting partnership kind of form, which we haven't seen a lot of in previous games, but Wim Reuters and Ruben Moyes working together on the opposite wing to Rafa really helped reduce the threat of Lauren Hemp, which is obviously not an easy task. And I think this all working together really flowed. It was very liquid football from Arsenal. But overall, I think we can see how much Jonas changed the tide of the game with his decisions and where to play people. But something that I think was really interesting about this game is obviously that when we shut down Bunny Shaw, that is essentially what Jonas Edvald was saying and got a lot of criticism for in a press conference a few days ago. He was essentially talking about the fact that we have multiple people to score our goals, not one core goal scorer, whereas City just have that like outright player, which is obviously Bunny Shaw. Now, this can work, clearly, quite a lot of the time, but then when Bunny Shaw scored the goal, she kind of put her hand to her ears and was like, everyone's always talking, you know, like making that motion with her hands, like the talking motion. But then, so like, yes, it was a very early goal. Clearly, they thought it was going some other way. But then once she was shut down, technically speaking, Jonas Edvald was correct with his assessment that there is a problem with just having one core goal scorer. One of the big things to come out of the game was obviously Katie McCabe, not just her return from the injury situation, but also the fact that she got a yellow card. Now, for those of you who haven't seen it, obviously her yellow card, it was quite unnecessary, if we're being honest. She didn't really need to do that to Chloe Kelly, but I was wondering ahead of the game if she would attempt to get like a tactical yellow, because she's at a certain number now where she's going to miss the next WSL game. However, because of all the rearranging that's going to need to be done for our European games, our next game probably won't be Manchester United as it's expected to be. It's probably going to be a slightly less threatening team just based on how our calendar is looking at the minute. And obviously Katie McCabe has to play in that United game. We've got a huge run of games in our final kind of stretch ahead of the title. But it was obviously a bit risky because there was a lot of the game to go, which is why I don't think it was a tactical yellow. But overall, I think this all comes back to what a lot of people have been saying. I think this team showed a lot of desire to win. Like, even when it was very visible that we were struggling and we were really tired and it wasn't looking great, if we're all being completely honest, there was you could still tell they were trying and there was attempts on goal. Obviously it wasn't really quite coming off, but I think that Arsenal are in probably some of the best form they've been in all season, and I personally do think the WSL title is still to be had. I'm not, even if that's not Arsenal, I do think it's Chelsea's to lose, but I definitely think we're going to get European football. I do think there is potential for certainly other teams to win the WSL at this point in time. But overall, a really strong performance. Obviously, now we're just going to round up with some Arsenal news. So, super positively, Taya Goldie has played another 60 minutes for Arsenal's under-21s. And this is obviously really important for her coming back into the first team squad. And also, this means that 3 more points from the last 3 games will see us champions of the Southern Division League. So amazing news for Taya and amazing news for the Arsenal Academy. And finally, not only do we not 100% know our next game, given that the calendar still needs to be rearranged for our Champions League games, that will be out super shortly. We'll know what our next WSL fixture is. We obviously now are in international break, and it's really an exciting time to be an Arsenal fan. We have the finalism, which will see Leah Williamson and Lotta Vibamoy against Arsenal teammates Rafa Souza for Brazil. And then, of course, the Lionesses also play Australia. Will be really interesting to see how serious Caitlin Ford's injury is based on if she plays for the Matildas or not. Obviously, we already know that Steph is unavailable due to injury. However, the Matildas will be coming in to monitor her just for their own information as well. And then, of course, we have Pallova and Katrina Kuhl playing in the international teams as well. I will, of course, be putting out a summary on thehybridhangout.com about how they've all done in the international break. In the meantime, I'd love to know what you all think about the new kits for the international teams that have all come out now. Obviously, we've been seeing leaks for quite a while, but now all of the Adidas and Nike kits are available. For any Lioness fans listening, the shirts will be available to buy from the 5th of June if you get them from the England website or Nike, and then the 8th of June if you want to get them from elsewhere. But it's really all heating up in the WSL, and it's all heating up in this build-up to the World Cup in the summer. But thank you so much for listening. I will speak to you all soon.